Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're about to talk to Roger Stone about a undercover recording that reveals nothing, yet they still publish it because it makes them feel good. But did you know? Did you know 6 years ago, Project Veritas actually got undercover recordings of us here at InfoWars and exposed us? Did you know this? You might not have seen this before, but it's true, folks. Here's Project Veritas 6 years ago exposing InfoWars.
I think it'd be weird if I'm going to get two beers.
I don't want to shoot up the studio again. Thank you, sir.
Exactly.
Oh, about time. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, he's like 60 years old.
Paul Joseph Watson?
Yeah.
I wouldn't ever want to repeat this, so I'm just...
Secret safe with me, for sure.
Man,
much.
That's a lot of tips. Yeah.
Well, the thing about Bigfoot is he has telepathic powers.
Alex Jones. He was a nice guy, actually. You like him? Oh, that's good. Alex Jones, nice guy.
Siri is just a false flag, literally. It doesn't even exist.
But Trump is actually my godfather. Even, touched my head when I got baptized, so.
InfoWars.com. To some, they're just nutty conspiracy theorists. To others, they're Russian agents and the reason they lost the election.
Like InfoWars.
Still others say that they're the tip of the spear in the fight for human liberty and the heart of the resistance in the spirit of 1776. We sent in our undercover reporter to find out the truth. And what they found was more disturbing and more intriguing than we could have ever expected. Our undercover operative got a job at InfoWars, and on his first day, two reporters, Darren McBreen and Owen Schroyer, took him out to lunch, ostensibly to discuss the parameters of the new job. The conversation, however, quickly turned to complaints about the boss, InfoWars founder, Alex Jones.
He's basically the same person off camera as he is on camera. You know, it's true. Except, I guess sometimes he bugs me when, like, we got a lot of maintenance issues. Like, when he gets angry, he actually, he will shoot. He takes his gun out and shoots up the studio.
Really?
He scares a crap out of everyone.
Clear our office.
You never know when it's going to happen. It's just boom. You know, he will do it.
Real constant reconstruction.
You're saying like a real gun? Like, this live fire ammo? Like,
yeah. No, I mean, nobody was in danger or anything. I mean, because
he's
a really good shot. You know what I mean? He's had a lot of practice. I mean,
that wasn't the only discussion about the gun culture and its dangerous implications at the InfoWars headquarters.
Kids are, you know, sometimes we'll have kids in the studio and everything. And it's like, because, you know, I saw a couple kids playing with one and everything. I was like, hey, man, it's loaded. You know, you might want to. You know,
wait, so this is.
But the kids, these are Texas kids, so they know guns. You know, so it's like, I'm just saying, it's, you know, some people, if they were to see that, would probably get the wrong idea.
Yeah. They probably think we're like gun nuts or something. Just because we let our kids play with guns. It's like, well, how do you think they learn? You know?
Alex Jones isn't just the host of his own show. According to his employees, he holds ultimate editorial control, dictating what they can and can't cover.
So working for Jones, is there anything that he like doesn't want you to cover, tells you to avoid, or
yeah,
like what?
It's one of my pet peeves, honestly, but I've been trying to cover Bigfoot for a while, and it just gets punted every time. Are
you
kidding me?
The thing that people don't realize, and Alex doesn't want us to cover this, but I think we almost got him talked into it.
He probably doesn't even know.
Bigfoot is highly intelligent.
Here, get yours, too.
Really? I mean, I don't really drink in the morning that often.
Just shut up. Right. Shut up and take it.
Okay.
You want to work for us? I can't go out and do a report on it. Like, I'd like to actually go look for Bigfoot. Jones never lets me do that. He never lets me do that. I always got to do politics and stuff.
InfoWars has been accused in front of Congress as being disseminators of Russian propaganda, specifically relating to the Kremlin's alleged support of Donald Trump.
And then I think you have them feeding other entities. InfoWars comes to mind.
On this point, it took very little prompting for this head InfoWars producer to make an outrageous admission.
I was drinking at the time and stuff. It's just but the fact that I was pulled over, I never get pulled over.
Right.
You know? And it just weird things start happening. Now, when I do pro-Trump videos, I can't explain it, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my bank account, I have extra money in my bank account. You know, $200.
All right, there it is. Project Veritas exposes InfoWars. It's parody, folks. I'm going to upload the whole video to my Twitter account for some classic fun. Roger Stone coming up next.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war, it's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
We're joined now by the great Roger Stone, and when I saw this story, I said, all right, Roger, if you would like to come on the show and address this directly, the floor is yours. Now, the story, the headline, is at InfoWars.com, Democrat undercover video of Roger Stone is a nothing burger. Roger replied this morning, the video of me illegally obtained by L.A. Windsor, in which I lay out the perfectly legal steps Republicans must take to ensure a free, fair, and honest election is a nothing burger. Now, Roger, this group, The Undercurrent, this is they have some of these videos, but what's funny about it is that every time they catch a quote-unquote conservative or Republican or Trump supporter in this undercover video, everything that they say is exactly what they say in public. There's nothing you say in this video that you wouldn't say on this show or that you haven't said on this show about how to secure our election. So, but Roger, just go ahead. A public statement, a public response to this undercover recording of you.
Thank you very much, Owen, for having me and giving me the opportunity to address this outrageousness. So when I was at Mar-a-Lago attending this terrific Catholics for Catholics event, a couple of women outside the event pulled me off to the side to express their concerns about ballot fraud and election integrity. Turns out they were working for this woman, Lauren Windsor, who calls herself a liberal documentary maker, but she's actually a leftist operative paid by the Democratic National Committee and other extremist left-wing groups. And you nailed it, Owen. I went through all of the perfectly legal things that I think need to be done to ensure that the next election is free, fair, honest, and transparent. That included very specifically greater legal assistance on Election Day. If you look, for example, at what happened in Michigan, where at 3:30 in the morning, the Democratic officials had the Detroit police physically remove the Republican observers. There was nothing the Republicans could do. They couldn't get an emergency motion filed in state court to get back in the room because, of course, the courts didn't open until the morning. I suggest that your attorneys know to contact a judge in the case of emergency. The judge can determine whether you have a legitimate motion or filing or not. I also talked about the need of technology. Yes, the voter lists need to be cleaned. In Florida, for example, when the Florida Republican Alliance did a complete scan of all 15 million Florida voters, they found 1 million post office certified undeliverable addresses. Those voters who are, you know, registered at vacant lots or who have died or moved out of state or never existed to begin with, they should be removed from the voter rolls. So those are just a couple of the examples. But it's amazing the way this works. It's like one bird jumps off the telephone wire, and they all jump off. So immediately the fake news outlets like the Daily Beast and a Rolling Stone, Law and Crime, they jump out with their own complete false narrative. Stone outlines secret plan to steal the 2024 election. It's laughable. It's absurd. And it is, of course, all over the internet.
Yeah. And again, though, this undercurrent group, nothing that they've ever exposed is anything. They expose Republicans, conservatives, whatever, Trump supporters, talking about how they feel about abortion or talking about how they feel about Trump and the Second Amendment. There's nothing. It's not like we catch these White House officials or CIA contractors saying, oh, we're going to shut down InfoWars, we're going to take Alex's money. Or we catch these Democrats saying, yeah, we have to lie to them about illegal immigration or lie to them about Joe Biden in order to get him in office. That's a story. That's deception. That's bad politics. All they do
later,
is...
Please. Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's fake news. So look. First and foremost, as you know, kind of like Alex Jones in this sense, I'm clickbait. So they make money by smearing me. They get their mindless zombie followers to click on whatever the latest smear they have is. But I think you're exactly right. Everything I said in the conversation with these two shills, I've said in public in speeches. There's no secret here. Here, but it is interesting. When Rolling Stone says secret recording, what they mean is illegal recording. Because in the state of Florida, you cannot record another person without their permission. And they very specifically pulled me over to a private area. Yes, I do intend to take legal action.
Oh, that was my next question. You will be taking legal action.
Yeah, most definitely. I believe that I am correct. I have thoroughly reviewed the Florida law. We're a two-party state. So therefore, I believe that the method used here was illegal. It's not that I said anything wrong. It's the principle of the matter. And therefore, yes, I will. Now, whether or not the Daily Beast and Rolling Stone and the rest of these failing media outlets republishing this material that was obtained illegally is illegal in itself. That's something my lawyers are looking into.
So you have even talked to lawyers. You've gone that far.
Early this morning. Now, I'm on the West Coast today. But yes, early this morning, I began talking to lawyers who are specialists in this area. Frankly, Owen, I'm tired of being a punching bag for the left. I'm tired of being their clickbait. Therefore, I don't think I have much choice. It's amazing. The woman who actually had the professionalism to contact me from Rolling Stone wanting a comment. When I gave her a quote, of course, she didn't include it in the story. So much for their journalistic professionalism.
Well, and just so people kind of understand this, too, like I did an interview earlier today with Joe Altman on Frank Speech TV. You know, when you're a political pundit or talk show host and you do interviews, you get asked a lot of the same questions over and over and over again. And so you kind of have this response built into your head. So you talk about election integrity all the time. You come on this show, you do it on your show, you're a guest on many shows. So I'm sure you kind of already have this built-in speech, if you will, when you're asked that question. So yeah, this you know, undercover journalist, quote unquote, comes up to you and asks you about election integrity. You already have the answer in your head because you've already said it 100 times.
Yes, but it's also true is the way they jump to crazy conclusions. So because I said that one needed to be able to access a judge on election day, I also gave my opinion in which I said I thought that the lawfare against President Trump would fail. I said that I believed that the judge in the Florida documents case was going to dismiss that case. That was an opinion based on the reporting that I had read by Julie Kelly, who I have a high regard for. The judge did not dismiss that case yet, but the judge did schedule a broader hearing to explore the question of whether Jack Smith was legally and legitimately appointed. were the judge to find that his appointment was illegal, and were that to be upheld in the courts, which I actually believe it would be, then yes, the charges would be voided. So it's unclear whether I'm right or not. But immediately jumping to the conclusion that Roger Stone must have some relationship with Judge Eileen Cannon of Florida. The only thing we have in common is we both live in Florida. I don't know Judge Cannon. I've never met her, never communicated with her. But you wouldn't know that if you read some of these crazy leftist websites.
Well, on that note, I want to segue to my next topic with you. But just to make this clear, the undercurrent, quote unquote, journalist could have asked you the same questions publicly. She could have done an interview with you and you would have said the exact same thing.
I think that is exactly right. Here's the other thing that's kind of weird. When you go out and defend yourself, you know, they say, oh, Roger Stone is melting down. Oh, and do I look like I'm melting down to you?
I mean, maybe if you're in the Las Vegas heat, you might be a little hot, but you seem perfectly comfortable in that seersucker.
It is pretty toasty out here, I must admit. But no, there's a broader question here. I've been through this, as you know, many, many, many times. You're exactly right. Had I been asked these questions in a public forum, would have asked them exactly the same way. I do think that Republicans need to take a number of perfectly legal steps to ensure that the next elections are honest. I know that is being worked on by some very good people. Nothing improper or illegal about that. I understand why the left hates it. I'm not sure what their problem is with a free, fair, honest, transparent election, but they don't seem to want one.
All right. Now, talking about the legitimacy of these Democrat persecutions, the GOP might have a pulse. GOP reps introduced resolution without Senate approval to nullify subpoenas for Bannon, Navarro, Scavino, and Meadows. Declared January 6th committee illegitimate. It seems like it's kind of too little too late, but at least they're doing something. I mean, is this kind of the same approach that we're looking at with Jack Smith and his illegitimate case in Florida?
Well, I actually had an opportunity, Owen, to speak to Congressman Burleson, who I met at the Turning Point USA Action Conference in Detroit last weekend. He told me about this legislation. There are actually two ways this could be done. There is a subgroup within the House. The acronym is BLAG, B-L-A-G. I don't recall the exact title, but it basically speaks for the House in all legal matters. Is made up of three members of the majority and two members of the minority. That body has the authority to essentially decertify the January 6th committee report and certainly has grounds to do so. Whether Speaker Johnson is prepared to do that or not, I don't know. There are some who say, well, it would disturb the institution of the House. How about appointing a committee in which you don't accept the recommendations of the Republican minority leader and in which you use suborned perjury by some of your witnesses, where you manipulate videos and audios, and then you destroy all the records when it's over? I wonder if that disturbs the institutional integrity of the House. So I do think this bill by Congressman Burleson could be very significant. I'm not an attorney, as you know, but I do think it could void, as I've read, the subpoenas that were given to Bannon, Navarro, and others. I think it is outrageous that they are talking about sending Steve Bannon to a heavy-duty prison. There are very serious, real constitutional problems with the charges against him. The judge during that case said several times that he himself had questions about the government's interpretation of the word willful based on more recent court decisions. And I was a little surprised that he was not more hospitable to the motion by David Schoen, who was then Bannon's attorney. President Trump, unlike the Navarro case, very specifically invoked executive privilege over the testimony of Bannon. And therefore, Steve Bannon, acting on the advice of counsel, was told that he couldn't testify, that it would be a violation of the law. They even tried to compromise. Bannon's lawyers told the committee that if a judge would take this up immediately and rule that Bannon had to testify, he would testify. So he has, I think, legitimate legal arguments for his appeal. But as I learned the hard way in D.C., the law, the Constitution, the facts, the rules, none of these things actually matter. So as I said in Detroit, despite the fact that I've had my differences with Steve Bannon in the past, at this point, I think that he is being victimized. I think it is outrageously unfair, and I really am praying for him.
Well, and this is like, it really is, because you've been through this too. You were one of the first to go through this ringer. It really is like a sexual experience for the American left to persecute and imprison their opposition. I mean, really, it really is. Just getting Bannon in prison will be like a sexual experience for them. It really gets them off. It's this sick psychosexual thing that they have in politics. And so I don't expect them to give Bannon any chance. They want him in jail. They need that release.
I agree with you, Owen. You can see the giddiness and the delight on the faces of those on CNN who were reporting about this. But it's also, I must say, why I believe that coming up here on July 11th, the Judge Juan Merchan, who should have recused himself long ago, will in fact sentence Donald Trump to prison time. More lawyers who I respect tell me that since he is has no previous criminal record, the nature of the charges, that's unlikely, that the judge might impose a sentence, but then he would stay that sentence pending appeal. I don't think so. I think this judge wants to become a left-wing icon. Perhaps he'd even like to have a federal judgeship. So I am bracing for the worst. What better way to interfere with Donald Trump's campaign than to incarcerate him only days before the Republican National Convention? Again, you're absolutely right. The hard left they're giddy with that prospect. It's really nauseating.
They are the hard left over it, if you will. And I agree with your analysis there. I think that they do want to see Trump in jail. At this point, I'm saying the odds are Trump does go to jail. And maybe the judge's daughter gets, you know, another big payment from Democrats to pay for her, campaign assistance. And, you know, maybe the judge gets a little promotion in the process as well. Now, we are expected the Trump immunity case at the Supreme Court. We are expecting that by the end of the month. And so do you expect that to impact maybe the judge's decision?
Again, I'm not an attorney. I read a lot about this. I suspect that the court is going to try to find some way to say, yes, presidents have immunity, but only within certain parameters, and that Trump's activities specifically were outside that. So in other words, Barack Obama cannot be prosecuted for his crimes or George W. Bush prosecuted for his crimes. But Donald Trump, well, he's special. I would argue that the president under the Constitution has an obligation to see that the laws are faithfully executed. And therefore, he has a legal responsibility to ensure that our elections are honest. And therefore, I would argue that he acted within the powers of his office, but that's a layman's view. I haven't seen much from this Supreme Court that I find encouraging. 20 state attorney generals asked the court to review the elections and look specifically at election integrity issues. I'm told that it's very rare that for say 3 to 5 attorney generals ask the high court for a review. They on any issue, they almost always get it. So one of the things that the left constantly throws at you is 62 courts rejected Trump. No, 62 courts refused to hear Trump's objections to the election based on standing issues. That is not the same thing as those issues being weighed fully, going to trial and being decided in court. Not the same at all.
I get so frustrated how the left gets to win the narrative war, because when you read the stories about this, they say Trump's case on Trump's attempt to overthrow the election. That's not what happened at all. Trump didn't try to overthrow an election, but somehow they get that narrative. Somehow they get that into the American lexicon that Trump wanted to overturn the election. No, Trump wanted to review the election with legitimate concern that there were reasons to think that illegitimate votes or straight up illegal tactics led to Biden's victory. That's not trying to overthrow the reaction or overthrow the election, but that's what all they say. They say overturn the election, overturn the election, overturn the election. And that's just simply not what happened. So that's kind of a frustrating aspect of this, but I think that you're right. They're going to have some sort of a way to say, okay, the president gets immunity, just not Donald Trump.
Yeah, that is, of course, my fear. Attorneys that I respect still believe it is unlikely that either the Florida documents case, which does seem to me to be on life support, or the D.C.-based charges of election interference will get to trial before the election, even with a favorable Supreme Court decision. On the other hand, I think this Justice Department, they're capable of trying to put Donald Trump on trial as late as October if they have to. The whole idea here is, as the president has said, election interference. It's to siphon his money, siphon his time, so he has to sit in a drafty courthouse instead of being out campaigning in the swing states, and of course, to continue to blacken his name. The Democrats have nothing to run on, as we've discussed. So this campaign on their part is going to be about, oh, he's a convicted felon, January 6th. They want to take away abortion, make it completely illegal. Oh, and folks are going to cut your Social Security. All, of course, 100% false.
Well, the big story right now, and we got 90 seconds to the break. I want to continue this conversation on the other side. But the big story isn't even about policy or the open border or the economy or even Donald Trump right now. It's about Joe Biden is going to be replaced, or Joe Biden is showing significant cognitive and physical decline right in front of the American people. That's the big story. And I mean, when that's your big story with 139 days till the election, the big story being you're going to be replaced, I don't see how they can go with Biden at this point. And we got a short moment here till the break, Roger. If you just want to give a 30-second response, we'll continue it on the other side.
I continue to stand by my prediction that is now over 2 years old, that Joe Biden will at the last minute announce that he's not going to stand for re-election for reasons of his health, and that an open convention would then draft Michelle Obama as the Democratic nominee. We can come and pull that apart in the next segment.
All right. Well, I don't know if we want to pull anything apart dealing with Michelle Obama. You know, that's a whole other issue. It's kind of like, who came up with the name for the show Deep Inside Jen Psaki? You know, you think somebody at MSNBC would have had a better idea for a show title, you know, anything other than that. But there it is. All right, Roger Stone, our guest. I do believe he predicted it first, folks, long before anybody else, that it would be Michelle Obama. My goodness. Can you imagine the poll if Michelle Obama becomes the nominee? We'll be right back.
All right, I've been on air 29 plus years, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that I'm about to say here on air right now is the most important thing I've ever broken down. And I go through life seeing the average people out there, even our better people that are somewhat awake, not realizing that what we're covering, what we're getting into, isn't some side issue, isn't the central issue, it's everything. The future of our species together. And I've studied the globalists and how they operate for more than 35 years. And I read their documents, they'd written in the 50s, and as I've said many times, they got their plan done by the 70s. And then I saw their plan in the 70s for the 90s, and they got that done. Then I saw their plan in the 90s for the 2000s. Here we are. And now we have front row seats to global government, forced depopulation, and a collapsed civilization. And privately, I know basically all the top people that are resisting it. And they're getting closer and closer to coming completely out with the truth. But that's a day late and a dollar short. They got to go public now with all this. Because there's not a lot of time left.
Greetings, my stupid American friends. We interrupt this program with Biden's internet kill switch to let you all know you are seeing illegal information. We are surveilling and censoring and working with our good friends in Big Tech to make sure that none of you are able to stop the final phases of collapsing the Western world, namely America. We take your children, your borders, your freedom. We resume. It's so young, Jackie Mom, we're cool. Our information operation against you pathetic Americans has gone quite well. That's right. We outlaw TikTok in our country, but we use it to demoralize you here. In China, we teach families and strength and hard work. But what we do to you, well, you know what we've done to you.
Because this is proof of how China is making all of us dumber with TikTok. I mean, just take a look at these videos and you'll see a suspicious difference between the TikTok we know versus China's version of TikTok, Douyin. Because while our version of TikTok is being fed with just more of this and this, well, the people of China only get served more of this. Teachers in classrooms, science experiments for kids, showcasing architecture and technology, even sports. You can easily say that this is just because of cultural differences, but let me remind you, TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is Chinese.
But isn't it true that you let us do it? Only watch CNN and do what Biden, Joe Biden, tells you to do. But whatever you do, do not go to InfoWarsStore.com and get new book, The Great Awakening. Awakening is not good. Stay asleep and die. And whatever you do, do not get a fundraiser signed copy. That might keep them on the air. It will demoralize people greatly once we have shut down Alex Jones. Do not awaken. Do not read Alex Jones' book, The Great Awakening. Do not get it at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Making talk radio great again. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Roger Stone said Michelle Obama would be the nominee first. And I'm just a pragmatic person, and I like to learn from experience. And my experience is never doubt Roger Stone. And so even though I can't believe it, I can't believe it would be Michelle Obama, I've learned through experience, Roger Stone probably knows more than you. Maybe you should trust his instincts on this instead of yours. But Roger, let me kind of lay it out like this, because this is kind of where I see it, and I'll get your response to this. But I think the Democrats realize the situation they're in now, and there's only four options at this point. Option one is run Biden and have the biggest steal of all time to win. Option two, run Biden and just accept that they can't beat Trump and just regroup for 2028, blame it on Biden, whatever, and just say, let's just get Trump out of the way. Option three, replace Biden and just deal with the damage, mitigate the damage, however you want to speculate they do that or whoever they replace it with, whatever. Option three, replace Biden. Option four, have a dramatic event and then just cancel the election. So I feel like these are the only options for the Democrats at this point, Roger.
I think it's important to recognize, Owen, that what I've not said is that Michelle Obama will run for president or wants to run for president or will seek the nomination. I'm saying something quite different, which is if Joe Biden officially releases the delegates that are pledged to him and they have an open convention, that she would most definitely be the favorite. She's the most popular Democrat in the country who's eligible to run. Her husband has served two terms. He's not eligible to run. Now, that raises the question, of course, of what do you do about Kamala Harris? I believe a book that I read not long ago that indicates that Joe Biden really didn't want Kamala Harris as his running mate. He was still peeved at her for calling him a racist in one of the debates over the presidential nomination, which, of course, based on his record, he is, and that he preferred the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, but that Kamala Harris was imposed on him by Barack Obama. Now, given the dynamics of their party, it would be very difficult for them to dump a woman of color who, by the conventional rules of politics, would be next in line for the nomination in the event that Joe Biden elected not to run, which is why I have suggested that the way they might solve that problem is the Obamas would offer Kamala Harris the first vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court. She is, after all, a former Attorney General of California, and therefore she might be persuaded to step aside.
Okay, but let me pause you right there, because I think I still see a rift in this scenario, because how do they explain that to the public, though? How do they explain that to the public? They're not going to say, hey, we made this backroom deal that we're going to give her a Supreme Court seat. So how do they deal with that to the public? Or do they just assume that, oh, if it's another black woman that leapfrogs her, then they just won't complain?
Well, first of all, I think within the Democratic Party, Michelle Obama is far, far more popular than Kamala Harris.
Well yeah, Kamala so Harris, is a used diaper.
But Kamala Harris would have to be candid about saying, look, the candidate with the very best chance of beating Donald Trump is Michelle Obama, and therefore I will do whatever is necessary to get her elected. Then they could put Gavin Newsom on the ticket for vice president, theoretically, just as an example. Look, this is, I don't pretend to understand the Democratic Party as well as I understand the Republican Party, but with the built-in superdelegates within their nominating process, the party leaders have far, far more influence and control over their convention than you have in the Republican Party, where we don't have this bonus superdelegate system. The superdelegates are always congressmen, senators, county chairmen, state chairmen, national committee members. They're always insiders. I think there's probably right now great tension within the Democratic Party as professional Democrats legitimately fear that Joe Biden could take down their entire ticket. His performance in public is not, as I'm sure you have noticed, it's not getting better. It's actually getting worse.
Well, you hit two key things there. I want to get into the entire Democrat ticket in a moment, but I agree. I think there's maybe some major tensions building, whether they realize it or not. Maybe there's even a standoff at the convention. Democrat Representative James Clyburn recently said that Biden has a quiet constituency that's going to save him on election day, and maybe he's talking about the super delegates, or maybe he's talking about something else. I don't know. But there's two problems the Democrats have to hurdle. One is, I mean, unless they assume that they'll change the rules in Ohio to let whatever Democrat nominee on the ticket, but they're supposed to virtually confirm Joe Biden before the end of July, before the convention, and then that just becomes a ceremonious thing. I mean, that kind of null and voids a standoff at the convention unless they just want to sacrifice Ohio. I mean, what do you think they do about that?
Well, but the decision could be made before that time, conceivably. So as I'm sure you've noticed, suddenly there's a spate of mainstream media stories in which there's broader and broader speculation that Biden will not be the nominee. How coincidental that that would happen now. And of course, every time he begins mumbling in the middle of a speech or falls down or shakes hand with an imaginary person, those stories are intensified. Notice, by the way, once again, the Alinsky tactic of saying, oh, Trump is not functional. Trump doesn't, he doesn't know where he is. Trump is confused. No, Trump is sharp as a tack, as he proves every time he does one of these rallies. But they try to project their weaknesses, their faults, their problems, their actions particularly, onto us. It's a standard for the American left. The other thing they do, as you know, is completely recycle the same debunked, disproved, discredited nonsense all over again. Wait long enough, and we're going to hear about Russian collusion in the 2020 election, or the 2016 election, pardon me. So they never give up peddling the same crap over and over again, of course, because they have control of the legacy media. They're able to do this without anybody saying, hey, we ran this story and it was discredited previously.
Now, you mentioned the entire Democrat ticket, and I think this is kind of the biggest aspect of this story that gets overlooked. The Democrats realize that Biden at the top of the ticket is the most dangerous thing because it represents a very large potential that they lose the Senate and the Republicans get a stronger majority in the House. If Biden is at the top of the ticket, they're going to suffer immensely down ballot. That's probably their number one cause, I think, for replacing Joe Biden.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a growing concern that he could pull everyone down with him. I keep watching James Carville, who I know and who's no dummy. And he keeps, he's amazingly candid when he says Biden's poll numbers are far, far worse than anybody realizes. Well, James knows how to read a poll. He knows how to read a survey. So, and I think when Democrats are honest, well, that's what they say. I think there's severe doubts that Joe Biden can get through a campaign. And then we have the upcoming question of this debate, a debate in which I think there are high risks for both Joe Biden as well as high risks for President Trump.
We're up against the break. We're going to carry this conversation over with Roger Stone. We will talk about the upcoming presidential debate that is less than 10 days away. And I'll also ask Roger, why is Hillary Clinton's name being brought up now? What is that about? Please spare us.
I don't know what I'd do if I saw Fauci walking down the street or Bill Gates. I mean, he's so outrageously evil. He's such a murderer. And we need to have, you know, you're a Christian, you're a father, you're a theologian, you're able to be really calm and nice about this. I know you're pissed off about it, but the thing is, take action, folks. Resist them, protect yourself from them, expose them. What do we do biblically, do you think, to just spiritually be able to deal with this?
Well, we can't deal with stuff like this on our own. You have to lean on God. You have to, because when you look at what he is, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that we're going through. In the midst of the storm, he brings peace. We know how this game ends, and we know who wins, right? And the Bible tells us every knee must bow, the knee of sickness, the knee of disease, the knee of all these things that we're seeing. And we know what happens to the devil. Jesus throws him in the pit, right? And so we know who wins this. But here's the thing. God never told us that this life was going to be easy. He never told us. In fact, he told us the opposite. Jesus said, you know, take up your cross and follow me. People are going to oppose you for following me, but you know what? The end result is going to be better if you follow me than if you don't, right? So look at the opposition, take the opposition, but never deviate from that path of following truth and following victory and that strength of God who created the universe, who put all of his creativity in us because we were created in his image, we have to realize we've got that power of God pulsating through our veins every single day because we're created in his image. And when we do that, we can have confidence that, like what Psalms tells us, and we can rest under the shadow of his wings, that the enemy will come near our tent, but they can't come into it, right? So
look at the enemy. They're all slaves. Satan always destroys them. Even before they die, we see them betrayed. We see them destroyed. And we see billions and billions of dollars spent by the federal government secretly with just Walgreens and CVS alone to not prescribe ivermectin. So all this evil, you wonder, why are they not giving people the drug that they now admit works? Because they wanted to hurt people. They wanted people fearful, but it took billions to buy them off to do the evil, and the devil has the control of the purse. He has the power of the earth right now. He's the God of this world right now. But it shows every bit of it is mercenaries working against their own self-interest for a little bit of money.
Our firm is just different. We charge 8% when you purchase, 0% when you liquidate. We buy directly from the depository in Shiner, Texas, the Texas Precious Metals Depository. So their wholesale prices, you tack on 8%, they ship it directly to you. When you sell it back, we take nothing, zero, and whatever the depository prices are, you get all of it. See, that's a huge difference from buying a rare coin, something that has a high commission, high premium, where even after the big move in silver that we've seen, you still haven't even broken even.
KEPM.com/gold. Check them out. Go on the site. Call them. Get a consultation. Email them. Talk to them. 720-605-3900. KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, final segment with the great Roger Stone. He brought it up in the last segment, so let's talk about it. The presidential debate, the first, hard to believe, is only 8 days away, and Biden is worse off than he's ever been physically, worse off than he's ever been mentally, and so they've already tried to rig the debate as much as possible, Roger, to make it comfortable for Joe. Obviously, the hosts will be in his back pocket. They'll share all the questions with him. He'll have scripted answers. They'll shut off Trump's mic if he's talking. They'll keep RFK off the stage. They won't have any crowds there. I don't think it's enough, quite frankly. So what are you expecting here with the presidential debate? I mean, can Biden hack it? They can't avoid it. They can't stop it from happening. It's on.
Well, first of all, I think that this was a tactic on Biden's part, which backfired. In other words, I don't think Biden or his handlers want a debate. They figured they would challenge Donald Trump to a debate on CNN. And that Trump, looking at the way the rules are rigged against him and recognizing that the two moderators are Jake the Fake Tapper and Dana Bash, now you add Joe Biden, that's 3-on-1. So they expected Trump to decline. Then they can say, oh, you see, we were all set to debate. It was Trump who refused. Therefore, we can't have any debates. That hasn't worked because Donald Trump is fearless. And when he saw the challenge, since he had said anytime, anywhere, said that a number of times, he accepted the challenge, which they did not expect. Then we learned that they want to conduct the debate with both candidates seated for 90 minutes. Could that possibly be because Joe Biden can't stay on his feet for 90 minutes? Or perhaps he'll just wander off in the middle of the debate. Who knows? The deterioration there is obvious for everyone to see. That's why, as I said earlier, you had this great campaign of projection. Oh, here's a video of Donald Trump being helped up on a stage. Somebody had to help him up on the stage. No, he was actually shaking hands with his son, Donald Trump Jr. It's a typical manipulation by the fake news media.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder how they're going to handle the opening and closing statements, because that's going to be, I think, when Biden is actually most vulnerable, when he has to get up there and speak coherently for 5 straight minutes. He can probably try to kind of mush mouth his way around the rest with Jake Tapper there as a safety net. But this, you know, maybe the Democrats are setting Biden up for failure. This seems to be kind of early in the season to do a presidential debate. Maybe they wanted to do this before the convention and before the deadline to secure a nominee, because it gives them the excuse, if he's a miserable failure, to remove him.
That has occurred to me, that because this will be the first time in history where the two presumptive nominees, neither of whom is yet the actual legal nominee of their party, meet in a debate. It's never happened before. Gives you some idea of how anxious Donald Trump is to get at Joe Biden. Donald Trump, always confident. But yes, it could have that inadvertent, or maybe that advertent aspect where Joe Biden does a total belly flop, and it's used as the excuse to get him to step aside. It's always possible that, in the background, Barack Obama could easily collect a majority of the consent of the cabinet, plus the consent of the vice president, and they could privately, this is, of course, threaten to remove Joe under the 25th Amendment if he refuses to step aside. That's not resign as president, but simply not run. I still believe that that may be the final tactic, because Joe is extremely stubborn. And as, of course, you can see how much his wife actually enjoys being first lady. She loves it. Biden, of course, doesn't want to give up the authority to pardon his son, pardon his brother, pardon himself, pardon other members of the Biden crime family. So I still think there's an enormous amount of maneuvering going on in the background. And it is not inconceivable, since I think the Obamas probably have some influence with CNN, that this debate could be a part of the effort to get Joe to step aside.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and it does remain behind the scenes. Some of it has eked into the media. You brought it up earlier. But there's no doubt the moving parts behind the scenes in the Democrat Party right now are making a lot of noise. There is no doubt the grumblings have probably turned into roars about getting Biden out of the way and how to deal with it, and what a threat that is to the Democrats' chances to maintain the Senate or even win the House. So there's no doubt that's going on behind the scenes, and who knows? I mean, because really, Roger, I mean, we're in crunch time right now, because the crunch time has kind of shifted in this election from post-nomination to pre-nomination. Once Biden's the nominee, that's it. It's over. So I feel like the tension is really at its peak right now. Why is Hillary Clinton's name being brought up, Roger? Why is the Washington Post suggesting Hillary Clinton get involved?
Because Hillary Clinton is bringing up her name. That's why. I mean, if you saw that outfit she was wearing yesterday, it looked to me like she not only killed Gaddafi, it looked to me like she stole his wardrobe while she was at it. Look, she is still bitter, incredibly bitter, that the American people figured out that she was a foul-mouthed, short-tempered, entitled a kleptocrat, and rejected her presidential candidacy. And she blames everybody but herself. Oh, it's the women, because they voted the way their husbands told them to. That's one of the most ridiculous things I've actually ever heard. So, look, I think she's drowning in her bitterness. I don't think she's in great shape. The party would recognize that Trump would beat her again. She's no stronger than Kamala Harris as a potential candidate. All of her illegal actions would be opened back up again. No, I think the Democratic Party is very anxious to see her in the rearview mirror as well.
It's funny, isn't it? Because they kind of have all of these people that they'd love to see in the rearview mirror. Clinton, Biden, even Kamala Harris, and they just don't know how to shake things up to remove them ahead of 2024 because they're just there. They're just there clinging to power, clinging to the spotlight, clinging to their own self-aggrandizement. And really what the Washington Post was suggesting was that Clinton should be the vice president and Harris should step aside and say, well, she had it stolen from her, so she can be the vice president. And you know, that would be their way of kind of shuffling Harris aside. But okay, right now as we stand, Roger, in Vegas, Biden is still the presumptive favorite. And then it is Gavin Newsom and Michelle Obama. So what do you think? What do you think? Because you have the political expertise. What do you think is the Democrat ticket?
Still too early to say. Let me say this, that if Michelle Obama became president and Hillary Clinton became vice president, Michelle Obama would need a food taster. I would not be confident about that situation. I still think it's anything that happens. It's a very fluid situation. It's a very volatile situation. Let me ask you, Owen, how many times is Joe Biden going to fall down between now and the time that this decision has to be made? How many times is he going to wander off? Or how many times is he going to begin mumbling in the middle of a speech incoherently? All of those things, I think, play a factor. But the fact that more and more in the legacy media, in the fake media, are speculating that he will not be the nominee, the more confident I am that my prediction in the end will hold true.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. When the biggest story of your campaign is how you're going to be replaced, you're pretty much doomed. You're pretty much doomed. Even political policy failures, corruption, whatever, that even that's kind of par for the course. But for the conversation to be who's going to replace you, that's it. That's it. I don't see how they go with Biden. And to answer your question, I'd say one of each. I'd say he falls down once, fumbles once, mumbles once, slurs once, forgets where he is once, before the debate in 8 days, let alone the nomination.
Well, we shall see. Owen, thanks for having me today. And I ask folks to go to StoneZone.com. Check it out, StoneZone.com. And you can see all things Roger Stone.
Always a pleasure, Roger. Glad to be with you. It always feels right when Roger returns to the war room. All right. Well, you heard it here first. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. And with 8 days left till the presidential debates, I think we'll have a clearer picture at the end of this month as to the future of the Democrat Party ticket. All right, we got more news and video clips to get to when we come back on the other side. It's the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Hour two in the books. Hour three commences now.
What do you make of the attempt to take January 6th, which we know was a federally provocateur event at many levels, there were also some useful idiots that got sucked into it, in my view, to now project on that, no, it's not radical Islam that's the big threat, it's not communist China that's the threat, it's the American people and patriots that are the threat, and with straight faces, the CIA has come out and said, oh, we believe a civil war has already begun. We're going to have to arrest all the leadership. I mean, this is what a real authoritarian takeover looks like historically.
The most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
The most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland, white supremacists.
The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today, white supremacy is terrorism.
Can you speak to that with your historic understanding?
I expect something. Again, another distraction, I expect, because of what was staged on January 6th and what was staged up in Michigan to kidnap, you know, the fake kidnapping of the governor up in Michigan, Whitmer. I think we're going to see staged events. I really do. I mean, I really do think that, do not put past this administration, but their thugs in some cases that they have access to, do not put it past them to stage something.
Say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.